Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. In the house, virtually at least, is Harold Rode. Dr. Rode is one of our duty experts on many things, mostly involving the Middle East, where he is at the moment in the great state of Israel. Harold has served with great distinction for decades in senior ranks of the U.S. Defense Department on its policy planning staff, also in various capacities advising on Islamic affairs and Turkey in the Office of the Secretary of Defense. He is the author of many important pieces, notably at the Gatestone Institute, where he is a senior fellow. And also, I'm very pleased to say, a brand spanking new book, Modern Islamic Warfare, An Ancient Doctrine Marches On, published by our own Center for Security Policy Press. Harold Rode, thank you for taking a few minutes to join us from Israel. It's so good to talk to you.
Thanks, Frank. Nice to be here. Nice to hear your voice.
Well, just a few words about the book, Harold, because I think it's an important contribution to our understanding of the continuity between really what sort of I think of as Sharia supremacism has been all about since Muhammad's time, but how it's operationalized as we speak, the backdrop for some of the other things I want to talk to you about today.
Well, the bottom line is that Islamic warfare is based on pre-Islamic Arabian culture, nomadic desert culture. What we call terrorism is the basis of this warfare. They don't try to take over each other's capitals. What they do, it's small raiding parties, and they fight each other, and there's never peace, and the goal is to frighten their enemies where they flee, and once the enemies flee, they march in, take whatever property is there, take the territory, and the women and children become theirs to do with what they want.
So, Harold, as this is playing out in our own time, as you say, some of it does business under the banner of terrorism. There's also, notably in the form of the regional hegemonism of a country you've been intimately familiar with for many years, the Islamic Republic of Iran. A much more far-reaching ambition, it would appear. Some have called it a Shiite crescent. But talk a little bit about what the Iranians are up to at the moment and how it is a manifestation of this form of Islamic warfare.
Well, among other things, there are no such thing as bygones be bygones. There is no peace. The Iranians are Shiites. The rest of the Arab world and Turkey are basically Sunnis. The Shiites and Sunnis have an argument which started when their prophet Muhammad died in 631 on who should rule the Islamic world. Should it be the Meccan aristocracy or should it be the family of Muhammad? The Shiites are supporters of the family of Muhammad. The Sunnis are supporters of the Meccan aristocracy. Now you say, my God, this happened in the year 631 AD CE. I don't know what relevance it is today. But since bygones are never bygones, there is no such thing as peace as we know it here in the West, then they're still fighting this war. And so what this really boils down to is the fanatic Shiite regime of Iran, and not all Shiites are fanatics, but the regime in Iran definitely is fighting the fanatic Sunni Muslims, which are all over. And there is no such thing as peaceful methods. Use any method you can to accomplish your goal. And the result is, look what we're seeing in Syria. Look at what they are doing to each other. They have no compassion towards each other. They have no pity on the others. Now, again, why this is important, the word compassion in Islam, compassion is a characteristic which Muslims hope that Allah will have towards them as individuals. But between each other, history shows that they have been incapable of doing unspeakable acts to each other. And all we're seeing in Syria now is a manifestation of that now.
Harold Rode, this is an important context for a decision taken this week by the Trump administration, as I'm sure you're aware. certifying Iran's compliance with what I call the Obama bomb deal. Do you believe that to be appropriate, given what we know about what the Iranians are up to? And what are the implications of doing so?
Well, I think it's quite sad. They said that they're following the letter of the deal, a deal that's not even clear what it is, because the Persian version and the English version are different. So I don't even know what it means, but I know what it indicates to both the Iranians and our allies, our temporary allies in the Persian Gulf, that is the Arabs. It signals American weakness. It signals that you can't trust America, because America is caving into their enemy, and that is Shiite, the fanatic Shiites, who are ruling Iran. And see, that's how they understand it in this part of the world. It's sad.
Yeah, well, and not without some reason. A lot of hard experience, needless to say. Harold, let me take advantage of the fact that you are on the ground there in Israel at the moment to ask you about one other topic making news at the moment, as you know. Discuss, if you would, what's going on with respect to this Temple Mount controversy in the aftermath of an attack there last week.
Israel formally has sovereignty over the Temple Mount. But sadly, back in 1967, Moshe Dayan, who was the defense minister at the time, left the administration of the Islamic holy sites on the Temple Mount in the hands of the Muslims. Now, I say sadly because the Muslims know historically that when you capture an area, you control things, you dictate the terms. What Israel did in their eyes was folly. It signaled weakness. And the Muslims, again, in classic Islamic warfare that we talk about in the book that you just published that I wrote, according to classic Islamic warfare, at all times, you know, when they lose, and they're looking to see if we, the West, have the guts to do what is necessary to ensure victory. They're constantly poking. And Frank, what is so interesting historically, and this is long before the creation of modern Israel, that they understood that when their enemies are strong, they basically are quiet. When they are hopeless, believe it or not, is when there is the least amount of terrorism. When they see weakness, and again, not as we understand it, but as they understand it, when they see weakness, what they do is pounce. And what they are slowly but surely trying to do on the whole Temple Mount controversy is push the Israelis off. There's a real question whether, in fact, these are real holy sites. The Al-Aqsa Mosque, in the time of Muhammad, again, he died in 631, was approximately 20 kilometers or so from today's Mecca. The whole idea of Jerusalem becoming holy in Islam only occurs in 691. That is 60 years after Muhammad's death, when there was a revolt in Mecca and the Muslim rulers in Damascus needed to starve and cut off that revolt. And that's when Jerusalem became holy. And there are all sorts of commentaries which, at the time, they tried to prove that what's in the Quran, that this was the furthest mosque, the Masjid Aqsa, when Jerusalem isn't even mentioned in the Quran. Anytime a non-Muslim is interested in a holy site, then the Muslims they find all sorts of, I would say, reasons, excuses of why it is holy.
Harold, we are hard out of time. There is so much more to talk with you about. I appreciate your visit with us from Israel and your on-the-ground insights into the challenges that we're facing from not only Israel's enemies, but our own. And I commend to all of our listeners Modern Islamic Warfare, An Ancient Doctrine Marches On. You can download it for free at securefreedom.org, or better yet, buy it at Amazon. Harold, again, thank you for your great service to our country over so many years and that you're continuing to render. Keep it up and come back to us again very soon.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.